why that over the centuries, the rabbis have decided to call this the new year. Because the ancient rabbi said this was the day, this is the year, this is the day that God created the worlds. And so and this is tradition to read Psalm 24, and I'm going to read that. This is a Yom Teruah Psalm, Psalm 24, a Psalm of David. The earth is Adonai's and all that fills it, the world and those dwelling on it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may go up on the mountain of Adonai? Who may stand in his holy place? One with clean hands and a pure heart, and has not lifted up his soul in vain, nor sworn deceitfully. He will receive a blessing from Adonai, righteousness from God, his salvation. Such is the generation seeking him, seeking your face, even Jacob. Selah. When the scriptures say Selah, it means pause. Think about what was just said. He created all things. But he's inviting us up. Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, he's inviting us into fellowship with him. Selah. Think on that. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory?
Yeshua.
Who, Adon? Yeshua. Who is the King of glory? Adonai, strong and mighty. Adonai, mighty in battle. Lift up your gates. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Yeshua. Woo. Adonai Tzevaot is the King of glory. Selah. Pause. Think upon that. Think upon what God just said. After the Selah, we stop and we pause and we listen to what God is saying. And this is the time of the year. It started about a month ago as we began the month of Elul. It's a time of opening our hearts and saying, Lord, search my heart. Lord, bring me into alignment with your Ruach HaKodesh. If there be anything that's not from you in my life, show me that. Not as a condemnation, but so that I can deal with it. Get rid of it. So it's a time of opening our hearts. And we see that the kingdom calendar is God knew what he was doing when he created these feast times. There's four feasts at the beginning in the feast time, and then we have three major feasts at this time of the year. Now, there's feasts because we're Jewish. We have feasts all the time because we love to party. There's actually about 22 feasts throughout the year. But I would say probably seven major feasts plus Shabbat, so that would make eight. We celebrate Shabbat every week. But the spring feast that we have that's around Passover and first fruits and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it points to Yeshua's first coming. Yeshua's first coming, where we see his deliverance, where when Moses walked through the Red Sea as if on dry land, it was us coming out of slavery and into the promised land. And we also see that it was a time of first fruits and the giving of the Torah and the Spirit being given at Shavuot, a special time of the year. That's the spring feasts. But now we're coming into the fall feast, and the focus is on what? Yeshua's return, his soon return. And this is what I love. It's also a focus on being ready as his bride for his return. Teshuvah. Teshuvah, which is a Hebrew word, which literally means to turn. Or to repent. It's a season of teshuvah, repentance, recommitment, a regathering, and preparing for his second coming. Very special time of the year. It's regathering. There's a 40-day spiritual preparation between the first of Elul, which is about 30 days ago, and of course tonight is 10 days towards Yom Kippur. So we're right now in the 10 days of awe. So expect God to do some incredible things. And I tell you what, if you don't have expectation, you're not going to see anything. But with expectation comes hope. And with hope, you're going to see great things. And I believe we're in a really important, significant season. This is called the Yomayin Noraim, which is the 10 days of awe from Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah tonight to Yom Kippur. We're called to rend our hearts, to take stock of our lives, and to make the necessary changes. That's what this season is all about. And it's also a season where we ensure that the upcoming year will be a year that will be pleasing to God, and that we want to make sure that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a season of preparation for the bride to receive her bridegroom. What an awesome thing, the bride to receive her bridegroom. Hallelujah. Following tonight, there's a traditional service. We're not going to be doing it here, but I would encourage you, some of you, if you'd like, it's called Tashlich, which is it's a tradition. It's not required to do this, but if you turn to Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will throw all their sins into the depths of the sea." So what's a tradition at this time of the year for many of the Jewish people is to go to a body of water, usually the ocean, but we don't have an ocean close to us. You can go to a stream or a lake even, and you take a rock and you write out, first of all, you take a piece of paper, you write out your sins that you want to deal with. Get rid of them. Those things in your life that you want to get rid of, and you write it out on the paper, and you put it on this rock, and you throw it into the water. It means it's gone forever, forever. It's called the Tashlich service, that we throw our sins into the depths of the sea. That's what God does with our sins. Do you realize that you're forgiven? All of your sins are forgiven for your past sins and your present sins, because his blood is powerful. His blood is able to forgive us of all of our sins. And you know what? These appointed times, it redirects our focus to him. It redirects our focus to the things of the kingdom. See, we have seen a lot over the years. And you think about just things in the news in the last year, just in the last year. Are you kind of weary of all the stuff? And this is a time where God says, no, okay, enough of that. I want you to focus on me. I want you to focus on my kingdom purposes. I want you to focus on what I'm doing, and don't give credence to the devil and during this time. It's the season of the blowing of the shofar. You're going to hear a lot of that in a few minutes. In Numbers chapter 29, verse 1, it says this about this day. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, which we have entered into, as the sun went down tonight, we have entered into Yom Teruah, the first day, you are to have a holy convocation. And do not do any kind of ordinary work. It is a day of blowing the shofar for you. And so we're going to be blowing the shofar about 100 times tonight. You'll be hearing that. And if you brought a shofar, how many of you brought a shofar? All right. Are you ready? You're going to be, all right, you're going to have your opportunity. What is that, the sound of the shofar all about? Well, let's go back to the first time they heard, the children of Israel heard the sound of the shofar. If we go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. In the morning of the third day, first of all, they were called to get cleaned up, the children of Israel. God told Moses to tell the people, get ready. Get ready, because I'm going to be coming soon. Wash your clothes, get cleaned up, deal with your stuff. So he said, in the morning of the third day, there was a thundering and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and the blast of an exceedingly loud shofar. Could you imagine what the shofar from heaven must have sounded like?
Hallelujah.
Mike, it's going to put your shofar blowing to shame. I'm sorry. It doesn't even compare. And the blast of an exceedingly loud shofar, all the people in the camp trembled. That's how incredible it was. Then Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the lowest part of the mountain. Now the entire Mount Sinai was in smoke because Adonai had descended upon it in fire. The smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. When the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder, Moshe spoke and God answered him with a thunderous sound. And it goes on and on and on. So there's something significant about the blowing of the shofar. God appeared. Now there's actually, if we look through the scriptures, about nine different times when the blowing of the shofar is appropriate. First of all, it announces God's presence, as it just did in Exodus 19. Hallelujah. We blow the shofar at the beginning of our Shabbat service because we love his presence. And we're saying, God, you're welcome here. And when we blow the shofar, he shows up. He always does. Secondly, and we're going to go through this tonight, it's a sound of warning. They would blow the shofar when the enemy would be approaching. There'd be watchmen and they would be standing on the walls. They'd blow the shofar, the teruah, the warning, and the people of Israel would arouse. So they knew what that shofar sound meant. Also, it was the assembling of worship as they gathered together at the temple or the Mishkan or the temple in the wilderness. It would be a sign of assembling to worship. Whenever kings would swear an oath, they would also sound the shofar. It was also the coronation of a new king. Anytime they were bringing a new king, it was the coronation of a king. They would blow the shofar. It was a call to repentance. And that's what, when we hear tonight the shofar, it's a call to turn back to him. It's a call to be renewed and strengthened in him. It's a call to repentance. It's also going to be ushering the sound of the shofar, the usher the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to be that great and terrible day of the Lord when he returns. And we're going to hear that shofar as they did at Mount Sinai, except everyone will hear that shofar. At the sound of the shofar, it also says that the dead were resurrected. The sound of the shofar also means final judgment. So as you can see, there's a lot of meaning in the sounding of the shofar. It's not just something we do to make noise. It's biblical. It's spiritual. It's God wanting to get our attention. Rosh Hashanah. See, I'll go Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah. It's actually the biblical term is Yom Teruah. It's become Rosh Hashanah. I grew up with Rosh Hashanah, so I'll call it either one, but we're talking biblically. It's Yom Teruah, and you know what? As we look through the scriptures, it's the only one that Yeshua did not physically fulfill. That we don't see a record of him attending Yom Teruah services in the New Covenant. We see him at Passover, we see him at Sukkot, and we know that the Ruach HaKodesh came at Shavuot. And so many people believe that he's going to come back at this time of the year. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? You see, as we hear the sound of the shofar tonight, it prophetically reminds us of the day of final regathering of all people from all four corners of the world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar." You can imagine what that's going to sound like. "And those who died united with the Messiah will be the first to rise. Then we who are left, still alive, will be caught with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord." See, sometimes we get so engrossed with what's going on in our lives, we forget about the hope of that final regathering. And this is a season where we remember that God will keep his word. He will come. And if we're in him, hallelujah, we're going to be raised with him. Hallelujah. But we're going to be raised from mortal to immortal. That's awesome. And so this season, in all of the appointed times, all of these feasts, are about reminding us, and it's about us rehearsing them. These are incredible times, and God will fulfill them. He promised he will do it. He will do it. So worship team, why don't you come on up as we get prepared to enter into a time of worship and Just want to end with this. Is the trumpet, the shofar. We have different shofar up here. This is actually the ram's horn, which is the shofar. It's a smaller than the kudu horn, which is easier to blow, makes a louder noise, but this ram's horn is more of a shrill sound. Listen to the sound. I think you can hear that. That would be heard throughout the camp. And depending on the call, the children of Israel will respond to that call. I did that this afternoon just to see how I can blow this, and my dogs just took off. They ran. They knew how to respond to it. But when we hear that call of the trumpet, the shofar, we remember that God has promised, and this is so important. Would you stand with me? He's promised to gather us in that last day. He's promised to restore his chosen people. And you know what? Whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you're a Gentile, you've been grafted in. And that's an awesome promise. It's a promise to every believer that we need to be ready to enter his presence at any time. At any time. So, Father, we just come before you today and we say, Lord, search our hearts as we turn to you, Lord. And Lord, we long to hear that sound of the shofar. Knowing that you're going to be coming, and you're going to be coming soon. You're going to be coming for your bride because you promised it. You said you will be coming at the sound of God's shofar. And we look forward to that time. So, Lord, we want to be ready. We want to be ready as your bride. So thank you, Lord, that in you, Lord, we're united with you, with the Messiah. Lord, we thank you that he's living inside of us. We bless you for this season that we're in now. In Yeshua's name, amen. And as we enter into just a short time of worship tonight, and feel free to, if you have an offering to give to the Lord, we don't pass the baskets here. We have baskets up here in the front. Feel free if the Lord would put it on your heart to bring an offering before him, to just bring it into the baskets up here during our worship time. And we just encourage you to enter in. We're going to have a time of worship, and then we're going to have a shofar service, and you're going to really enjoy that. So let's enter in. And if you want to take some flags or banners and enter in with Devorah, feel free to do that. So let's worship him.
Amen. Pastor Stu said this is the